What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 12th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Oh my gosh, I've missed you guys so much. I was in Austria for 8 days, Sunday through Monday, and I even brought this microphone so that I could do these podcasts, and I just didn't. And I apologize, but I just had no time to do it. Internet was spotty back and forth, but we're back. We're back, and we got to talk about Christian Javier. Christian Javier, no more Javier Boredom, made his return from Tommy John since 2024. He had like 7 starts or so. Then he made this first one back this year. 5 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. 10 whiffs, got the win against the Red Sox. And here's the shticky, okay? I know he was great in 2022, not in 23 or 24. The four-seamer was pretty much the same as it was in 2022, save for 1.1 height-adjusted VAA. Supposed to the 1.4 of 2022, okay? That is still something I wish is better, but the velocity is actually matching 22 and not 23 and 24, which is good. The vert is still very much there. The high intent is still very much there, even though he threw, 24% non-competitive rate stuff, which is not great, but it was missing too far up and not, like, left and right and stuff, which I'll certainly take. That's been a thing of his a little bit, and I'm sure it's going to get better as we move on. The secondaries with Christian Javier, well, one of them was a sweeper in the first inning to, one of the damages of the day was a home run to Alex Bregman off a sweeper in the first inning. And that was actually his first two batters. It was a walk and then that home run. And then he went 5 shutout with 0 runs and 3 base runners and 5 Ks after that. Just think about that. It's kind of interesting. The sweeper is looking really good. The consistency going glove side edge against right-handers was fantastic. A super high strike rate with that. The changeup was around. It was actually the old changeup from 2022, the hard one at 85 miles per hour rather than about 82 and 81. Thing is, that was a really low sub 40% strike rate bat then. That was 60% here. He floated some of them, but he only used it against left-handers, while right-handers actually saw a new sinker that I'm very encouraged by. I think that this is actually a really good addition for Christian Javier, not because it's a really good movement pitch. It's not. However, being not the four-seamer, 4 strikes in the zone, and hopefully inside to right-handers could really help that pitch soar. So I like what I saw from Christian Javier. I'm not going to tell you that he's going to be this top 20, top 30 guy because that four-seamer is not as flat as it used to be. And we still need to see consistency and the ability to throw strikes with everything on future outings. However, you should be adding him to your squads. Okay, if he's still out there, I would absolutely be rolling with this. And I am excited for what we're going to get from Christian Javier, especially against the Orioles for 2 and then the Angels after that. We have Jose Soriano. He is a hipster, and you can't be a hipster if you don't have good starts. And he certainly did here against the Dodgers, who are still kind of cold, I guess. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He got a win there. The sinker was fantastic. The curve had 5 of those 6 strikeouts. The splitter had a 1 over 13 whiffs with a 31% strike rate. I mean, okay. So, Jose Soriano, I'm so glad that the sinker is still there at nights. And it's about a, 55% chance you do well? Something like that. Tywin Walker, unbelievable. 6 innings, 1 run. 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. All right, man. Enjoy your gold star. You might get one more. If Aaron Nola needs an extra day, so you'd get the Nationals. The cutter to right-handers was spotted really well. The splitter to left-handers was spotted really well. So props for that. But I mean, this is Koufax helping, right? Like 2 strikeouts in 6 innings, 1 run. It's unbelievable. This little mini run of Tywin Walker. Yu Darvish went 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts against the Giants. Thank you so much. He had some tumultuous outings and then had this really good one against the Mets. Took a step back last time. And then there's this against the Giants. Getting the win. 15 whiffs also. What is interesting, though, is Darvish really went 55% fastballs. 4 seamers and sinkers here. And then 17% splitters. So that doesn't leave a lot of room for his breaking balls, which are traditionally the best offerings he has. That's about 30%. Underneath that, just for your sliders and your cutters and your curveballs and your sweepers. So I'm a little weirded out by that. I don't know if I can bank on Darvish's amazing command with both his fastballs. That's up and away with four seamers to left-handers and sinkers down and away and also inside to right-handers, avoiding the heart of the plate. I don't know if I can really buy that consistently from Darvish. So I'm not quite as stoked as I want to be from a start like this. However, we are likely going to keep starting him. And I know it's the Dodgers twice, but the Dodgers haven't been so great. So I think we go with at least one of those. And then it's at the T of Seattle next. You have Jose Quintana against the Pirates. Got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 3. It's 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. Yep, that's pretty much what you want from Jose Quintana. Lovely stream there. He gets at Cincinnati and the Giants next. I think you're going to be fine with both of those. Chris Paddock was also a very good stream against the White Sox. 5.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. No win, unfortunately. We're happy to see this work. It was kind of interesting. Lefties, he did a good job of doing the Blake Snell blueprint, save for one bad changeup. That was the only run that he allowed. While, if you looked at it side by side with his right-handed strike zone plot, you would absolutely believe right-handers had his number. Why? Because everything was pretty much out of the zone, except for 90% four-seamers. There were 18 for 20 strikes that were right down the pipe. I mean, really, just pure donut command here. And he allowed 0 hits. He had 5 outs with a strikeout. Like, what? Okay. All right. Sometimes that's just how baseball works. He should have continued going, if you ask me. He got pulled with 1 out to go in the sixth. It was 5.2 innings. He had a man on first, and they pulled him. I'm like, yeah, come on, man. Just let the dude go. But fine. He'll get the Twins next. I'm cool with that one. Chase Dolander against the Cardinals. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 hits, because it was out of Coors. 5 strikeouts is nice. That's cool. It's in St. Louis, a great place to pitch. But even when everything was kind of working for Chase, that is, he had these cutters that didn't get hit and were called strikes a ton down the middle to right-handers. He had some effective changeups to lefties. He had curves actually landing low. Four-seamers generally upstairs. He's out of Coors. And it was still a 1-6 whip. You know, with just 5 strikeouts, you didn't get a win because you're on the Rockies. Yes, one run. But I think you understand what I'm trying to get at. That, like, Chase Dolander is just so not worth chasing here for this rare start where he's outside of Coors in a good matchup. We have the White Sox doing a opener for Tyler Alexander. 4.1 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. Just to rid Chris Paddock of a W. But yeah, T-Lex, good job. I know you're always shorthanded, but you made it work. I'm happy for you if you were trying to get that win and you didn't get one, but you still got production. We have other guys to talk about, including Will Warren's incredible outing. What is Bailey Falter doing? And some other, well, maybe some disappointing starts from your quote-unquote aces. We'll talk about all that after this break. Will Warren against the Twins got the W. 6.2 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. 45% CSW for a King Cole, which is amazing. The sinker was so good at going backdoor to right-handers with sweepers right in the same spot or going away. So it was just pretty much X Games, as David Cohn would call it, of going in and out of the outside corner. It was lovely. Four-seamers were upstairs and doing great work against left-handers. You have a 57% CSW overall on that sweeper. And he doesn't even have the changeup working beautifully yet. So I love the fact that he has this command backbone. Now it's about getting those getting those changeups working well and really not allowing 2 solo shots on breaking balls. I really like Will Warren, guys. Miles Michaelis against the Rockies on the road in St. Louis. I mean, 6.2 innings of 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And it's like, yeah, all right. Who was going to win out on this? The ease of pitching against Rocky Road or Miles Michaelis being Miles Michaelis? I guess I got to give props to Michaelis throwing sliders 88, 89 miles per hour down and away very consistently to right-handers. Cool. Good job. I'm proud of you. Bailey Falter against the Nationals. Remember, he's on the Royals now. And I got to say, I really appreciate what he's doing. I don't know if it's 100% what he's actually doing, but this was 4 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. And Bailey Falter has had this amazing four-seamer. It is a ton of extension, and he has good vert on it, and he locates upstairs at 93. But he has nothing else to pair it with. And honestly, he doesn't locate that four-seamer as well as he should be. So he's been on this journey kind of figuring out what that is. We saw in the last game a lot of sliders, and they were fine. They weren't really exceptional. So what do we see in this one? 30 6% curveballs. More than any other pitch. He threw him more than sliders to right-handers and he got more lefties than usual, but still, only 44% strikes on those. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, if I'm in his position, I'm thinking, all right, the Royals had me for a while. They just traded for me. They want me to get better. The Royals probably not making the playoffs, right? So let's take advantage of these starts. And instead of trying to be the best pitcher I can be at the very moment, let's try and be the best pitcher I can be for 2026. And that would mean let's just have a game throwing curveballs and see if something clicks in there and you can really get a good feel for it and get that exposure. Let's see with a slider to see if you can really work on that one. And I hope that's what he's doing. Hopefully he's found something. The curveball does not have enough depth for it to be a very legitimate one. It's actually kind of looking like a gyro slider, which is very interesting. And I was comparing a little bit between the movement of the slider and the curveball, and they are distinct, but not that much. So just something to think about there. Maybe it's even just the slider tweaked slightly to be what this curveball is. Regardless, I'm not in on Falter until I see something really sore with him. Hopefully he goes to Tread in the offseason along with Burgert. That would be a really cool thing. Andrew Abbott against the Phillies had a co-share of the gallows pole with Zebby Matthews, and both of those guys allowed 300 runs with 18 whiffs. 7.2 innings and six hits of zero walks and six Ks for Andrew Abbott with an amazing changeup away to right-handers, and honestly, the four seamer right there with it. So good. I absolutely love that. And then Zebby Matthews against the Yankees, 18 whiffs, 37% CSW, 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. You love that co-share of the gallows pole. This 96-97 mile per hour heater is still kind of average as far as everything else goes. FanFor Plus still loves it because of the velocity, obviously. And he does struggle a little bit with locating that fastball. It is a strike, but Zebby Matthews does throw that four-seamer too much in hittable locations and doesn't really pinpoint consistently a single location, right? Now, we have a slider that is just missing a ton of bats. He earned 7 strikeouts on that slider, 5 of them against lefties. That's cool, because that slider should always be demolishing righties. It's like a changeup to from a lefty to a righty is like, yeah, that's your strikeout pitch. Imagine that also working very effectively to lefties too, right? Same kind of concept. So, yeah, I really like Zebby Matthews. There's cutters in there. Maybe he throws more cutters a little bit. Change of sliders, 4 seamers. He also has 5 curves and 2 sinkers that we don't really need to touch. I think Zebby Matthews is going through those growing pains of like those little adjustments inside of games to remove those the last bits of problems. And then we're going to see him really explode in 2026. Logan Webb, yeah, had a careful Icarus with 3 runs in the 7th with a 2-run shot included. So 6.1 innings of 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Pretty disappointing. He's been on this weird run where he had a good one last time, but then this one faltered a bit. And you just got to believe in Webb helping you more than hurting you down the stretch, and that's that. Ryan Pepiot, bad game in Sacra Verde. Got a win, 6.1 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. And he also had a care for Icarus with 3 runs in the 7th. So this was off of a Soderstrom 3-run blast. Man, so these guys just so close with 6 innings. It was good. This wasn't his best. It was 2 over 21 whiffs on the slider, which had a decent amount of strikes, but not. It was thrown more than the changeup, I should say. And more hittable changeups in general. Four-seamer wasn't overpowering. I mean, 4 Ks here, 11 whiffs. It's annoying that Pepe was moving closer to hipster land after having like a 3-4 ERA, and the last 3 starts have lowered that closer to 4. This was, though, in Sacra Verde. It was 6 innings of production beforehand. We shouldn't be too hard on it. Cade Cavalli is a very intriguing prospect. If you read my roundup last week on Cavalli, yeah, I spent a lot of time watching that one, which I didn't really have the time to do, but I did anyway, because my gosh, he's throwing 98 mile per hour fastballs. And I thought we'd actually see this come down to like 95, 96. We saw him get tired throughout that first one, but no, he's right there. And 85, 86 on the curveball, which is great. Anytime you see a curveball over like 83, you should take note. Eno's mentioned that maybe it's 84, but 85, 86, awesome. 41% strike rate, not awesome. And that really messed him up here. He had 3 hits against right-handers when he did locate them for strikes. And the four-seamer shape is not good. It is average, if not below average, which means that it's empty velocity and he needs something else paired with it to really surprise them and keep their, keep them from really standing out. Attacking early and cheating for the 97, 98 mile per hour fastballs, right? If you have things that prevent guys from doing that, even sometimes curveballs, they can stop and go, but that's why it's important at 85, 86. But I am really curious to see if the cutter becomes a thing. He threw two of them, one a dramatically better movement than the other, and it was around like 93. So that's cool. I hope that becomes a thing to really stabilize Cavalli, because I don't know if we can trust this curveball. It looked much better in the first game. And if this curveball stabilizes a 60% strike pitch and is always kind of thin, then that's fine. But I'm imagining there are going to be games like this, and he doesn't really have too much to go into his pocket to really save him. He does have a sinker in there too. It's not a good movement sinker, but at least it finds the edges a lot, and you got a little bit unlucky with that one. Like Cavalli did locate that sinker effectively. But in general, like the changeup isn't the one to save him. He needs a cutter. He needs a slider or a cutter that is, yeah, low 90s and pairs well with that 98 and really has a different velocity bands. And I hope to see that moving forward from Cavalli. It is the Nationals. I don't always expect them to be doing these things. But then again, Patrick Corbin did add to that cutter eventually before he left the Nationals. So we'll see. Jeffrey Springs was not sunshine and rainbows as he did not get his revenge game against the Rays. 3.1 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk in 2 games. I apologize. He did get the game, but not the revenge. He is sporting a cutter now 19% of the time to right-handers, which is actually kind of cool, but it was 39% strikes. Womp womp. Good for you for experimenting, though. Hopefully he does stick around, because I think it is something that is a great addition for a lot of change of focus to lefties. As a lot of batters will be jumping at fastballs against them, and that means you just want more nullifiers for that pitch to be able to sneak it by. Ryan Nelson, speaking of fastballs, 83% four-seamers. 96-97, 20 inches of vert. And he has a slightly flat attack angle, which means that this is not a not an expected high amount of vert. It is much more shocking than usual, which is so good. Now, this was at the Rangers, 5.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. And the 6th inning, once again, careful Icarus, 5 innings of 1 run ball. And then the 6th, 4 runs with a 3-run shot by Langford. Oh my gosh, those 3-run homers. Oh man, I mean, look, Ryan Nelson could be unreal if he had anything to pair with it. I mean, this is essentially Chase Burns without the slider. He would be better than Chase Burns if he had Chase Burns' slider. That's what I'm talking about with Ryan Nelson. You just need a very good, like, you need the proper slider, and he can't figure that out. So it's frustrating. That's all. I still think that Ryan Nelson's very good. He was good for 5 innings in this one, and you should continue rolling with him, but he won't take that level until he adds that reliable number two pitch. Andrew Heaney didn't do well. 4 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks against the Brewers. Yeah, okay, whatever. And then you have 3 aces. Nathan Eovaldi, Garrett Crochet, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, all of them allowing at least 5 run runs. Eovaldi 5, Crochet 5, and Yamamoto 6. What are you going to do? You know, it was just one of those things, and none of these aces are showing anything to me that you should be adjusting moving forward. All right, that is it for today. It is so good to be back. Oh my gosh. Oh, we've got an On the Corner podcast today. It's going to be recorded live on YouTube, and then you'll see it on Wednesday inside your podcast feeds. So check that out. I've got the craft tomorrow with Eno, and we're going back into it, guys. So make sure you tune in 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time in the morning to my playback channel, playback.tv/pitcherless, to ask any questions that you guys have. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.